pray for you, Darren, before you start preaching. Father God, I want to thank you for the word you've placed on Darren's heart to bring to us. We want to pray that our ears and our hearts will hear what you want us to hear, Lord. Bless this time now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Malcolm. You do realise that 1 month from today, Christmas Day, it'll all be over. We'll be into Boxing Day. We'll be into leftover turkey. Soggy sprouts. We've got a number of Sundays until then. We've got 5 Sundays until then, if we include today. So we're starting a new series. I realise that we're not officially into Advent. In fact, next Sunday is the day we start lighting the Advent candles. Today, we're going to begin a new series calling The Race to Christmas. It's going to take us all the way up to including Christmas Eve. And the truth is, isn't it, that Christmas can sometimes feel a bit like a race. And it's one of those races where if you start off slowly, it means quite a bit of catching up to be done as you get closer to the finish line. I often, pretty much every year, I need to break out into a sprint at some point. It's speeds where I could probably challenge Usain Bolt. Because despite being a church minister and therefore surely knowing when Christmas is, it catches me out every year. Unbelievable, really. You know, Christmas for many people is nothing but a race, a time of heightened busyness, of stress. I came across this quote in the week, which I think sums it up for many. Christmas is a race to see what gives out first, your money or your feet. And sadly, that can be very true for many people. So we're going to look at 5 headings over this series, this Race to Christmas. Number 1, get fit for the race. That's today. So I hope you have your trainers and your leotards with you, because we're going to be getting fit this morning. Secondly, are you ready? Thirdly, get set. You're probably working out what's happening here. Then go. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to hit the finish line. Week by week, we're just going to share some simple thoughts which hopefully might open our eyes to something fresh at what, for Christians especially, is a very familiar time of year, isn't it? A very familiar story, of course. You know, ministers love Christmas, of course we do. We love Easter, of course we do. But it's the same story every time, isn't it? So it's about trying to make it fresh. And my prayer has been this week that God opens up our eyes to something new over the next 5 weeks. So today, get fit for the race. So, stand up. No, you don't have to do that. None of you were going to anyway, were you? The big question, though, is this. Which race are we going to enter this year? Because that determines how we choose to train for that particular race. Let me explain. As the Apostle Paul says here to the Corinthians, as we heard him when Mark read to us, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now I know, in fact, some of them are here today, I know we have a number of runners in this church. And I doubt very much if they just rock up at the start line for a race without having done some training beforehand. That would be crazy. That'd be really silly. And obviously, if you're going to get fit for a physical race, a 5K, 10K, half marathon, whatever the distance of the race, you get fit by going on training runs or going and working out at the gym. You would put in the physical effort to be as ready as possible for the race itself. But even then, regardless of how much training you put in, you might not win the prize. As Paul says, only one gets the prize. Only one person can pass the finish line first, before everyone else, and therefore claim the glory that goes with that. That's a statement of fact. Most people, obviously, won't get the prize for winning the race. Most people, especially someone like me, would simply just be relieved for getting across the finish line. Some people, as you sometimes see on races, London Marathon, as they put on the news, some people will literally collapse over the finish line, gasping for breath, legs feeling like jelly, head pounding because of all the exertion. I've only ever entered one race. It was a 5K race in Bristol. I was much younger then, in my mid-20s, so actually quite a bit younger then. I did get over the finish line. I'll tell you about that in a moment. The thing is, I thought myself back then as quite fit, so I didn't bother training at all for this race. Now, I have to say, it all went very well for the first 100 metres. But oh my goodness, I was relieved to get over the finish line, and I was relieved to still be alive. But only just. I do recall, remember doing with my friend John at the time, I recall needing to have a little lie down on the road afterwards. And boy, did I ache the following day. Getting to Christmas Day can sometimes feel a bit like that, can't it? You just about survive the build-up, but not really in any fit state to really enjoy the day itself or the days that follow, or to really engage with the true meaning of Christmas. And for many folk, that is the race they choose to run every year at this time of year. And to be honest, there isn't much training you can do for that race. Maybe start your Christmas shopping early, get a few presents in the summertime. It's not a very satisfying race, though, even then. And in the same way that the winner of the 5K race that I entered won a medal or a trophy that then got put into a drawer or a cabinet and was then lost to eternity, what do we really get if we've rushed around in the lead-up to Christmas only to collapse over the line when everything is finally, in our minds, prepared for the day? It's like us getting a crown that will not last, as Paul describes it in this letter. All that effort and all that stress for what, really? Especially when there is a much better, a higher value prize available if we enter a different race at Christmas. If we engage in the way that we should. Because we could train in a different way, for a different race. We could train for a crown that will last forever. I like the idea of that kind of crown. We could train so we are not, as Paul says, like someone running aimlessly. or like a boxer beating the air. We could train for something far more meaningful. Of course, that applies to all that we do as Christians. But I do sometimes wonder if at this time of year, this wonderful, special, important time of year, if we perhaps miss out on all that it could be to us, because we get so wrapped up in and focused on the wrong race. Our training, our getting fit, our devoted time becomes all about the wrong race. This time of year could be, and I think should be, about so much more than just buying presents, sourcing turkeys, spending money on various decorations, drinking sherry, refereeing family disputes. But hear this, I do want you to hear this. I am no Grinch, honest. I love the fun things of Christmas. But this time of year is about much more than that. It's about the arrival of the coming King Jesus. Now, the word Advent is derived from a Latin word, Adventus, meaning coming. At Advent, we prepare for the coming of God's Son. And that's what we should be preparing for right now. That's what we should be in training for. That's what we should get fit for. And more on how we might do that in just a moment. The thing is, this race to Christmas could be really enjoyable, really edifying, could be a spiritually uplifting time, if only we choose the correct race. If only we focus on what Christmas is truly about, focus on what it really represents, it would be so much better for all of us if we did that. As I reflected this past week on what I was going to say this morning, and that sense of racing towards Christmas, and in the context of today's title, Getting Fit for the Race, I thought and I wondered what getting fit for Christmas could look like, and perhaps should look like. What would help us to be properly ready for Advent? Be properly ready for the coming of Jesus? What are the actual things we could make time to do? Things that probably in Advent we should make time to do. So that we're better prepared to get out of Christmas, or that God really wants us to get out of Christmas. Not simply stumbling over the finish line, but continuing to run past, way past the finish line once Christmas is over. It's about finding time at this time of year to meaningfully reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. On the reason for the season, as they say. Reflecting on Jesus, God's Son, coming to earth as that little baby in a crib. That's what our training time should be for. Perhaps choosing to step back from rushing around this Christmas. Even if that means something's not getting done. And instead, spending more time with Jesus, reflecting on the importance of what him coming to earth represented. Reflecting on the importance of what that means for us today. I confess that this week I found myself rather challenged, by what God was giving me to say. Because as I pointed out earlier on, Christmas appears, and I think, when did that come? I get caught out, and year on year, I find myself rushing around with personal stuff, obviously with church stuff, and I do not properly engage in the way that I believe God wants us to. Not just me, not just you guys here, but you guys at home as well. So I felt challenged. I thought, right, this year, I am going to do some Advent reflections. There's plenty of material out there, daily reflections to see what God might be saying to me. I'm going to take the time, I'm going to carve out the time, pushing some stuff away if I have to be able to do this. And it just so happened, you got to love Facebook sometimes. It just so happens a few weeks ago, a friend of mine published, posted a photo of this book, Advent in Narnia. It caught my attention because who doesn't like Narnia? Well, most people do, I think. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get a copy of that and I am going to go through the 28-day reflections. And I thought, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge those that listen to this to do the same. To go through some kind of Advent reflections this year. And I thought, well, I tell you what, I'll see if some of them want to do this particular book. Because I then noticed, as I went through the book, towards the end, they've got four small group discussions. I thought, oh, well, here's an idea. So I'm going to say that every Tuesday, starting this coming Tuesday, if you want to join me on Zoom, we'll try and make it nice and easy. You don't have to come out in the cold weather. If you want to join me on Zoom at 7:30 on Tuesdays for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to go through those small group discussions. It might only be me, and you know what? That's fine. But I hope not, and I don't think it will be. We'll just spend 3/4 of an hour seeing what God might be saying through these studies. I'm told they're very good. And you can come to that whether you've got the book or not. I will say, if you want the book, and if you're thinking, well, how can I get hold of it? Because it really needs to start studies in the next couple of days. Let me know. We can order it on Amazon. It will be here in the next couple of days, and we can get the book to you. So that's a bit of a challenge for you. Then I noticed in the book, it said what would be really helpful is if people have recently read the book, at least the first 5 chapters, and I thought, oh no, how am I going to have the time to do that? Or it said, if people have watched the film. It was a great film, wasn't it? Some of you might have seen it in 2005. So I'm working out when, but in one night over the next 7 days, I got a copy of the film, and I'm allowed to play it on Zoom, and you can join me, and we can all watch it together. You could get some popcorn in, couldn't you? So I might not get popcorn, I don't really like it. The point is, folks, I want to encourage all of us this Christmas to take that step back, to make time to listen to God through some kind of reflections, whether you join me in this one or not. Of all times of year, this must be surely one where we should be doing this. Yes, year on year, I know I get caught up in the busyness of Christmas. This year, let's run a different race. Let's get fit for all that Christmas truly should be. Let's get fit for our entire Christian life, our walk with Jesus, by taking some time together, by studying what God may say in this case through these studies. So I encourage you all to join me. As I said, we'll work out how to get the books to you quickly. I will communicate out some of the details, but Tuesday, 7:30 on Zoom. Join me and we'll do the study together. I'll investigate if we can do it, a number of ways, but Zoom would probably be the best way for interaction. But I will give you the details of that, and I just challenge you to do something different this year. Let's pray. Father, most people love this time of year. They consider the nativity story as we eat our mince pies, as we meet up, do various activities, have our carol services. But Lord, it can be very busy. And maybe even in the busyness of doing those Christmassy things, we're not really taking the time to hear you. Father, I pray, as you have challenged me, that you challenge others just to slow down this year, to enter that different race, to train for the race that you call us to run, by stepping back and intentionally seeking to hear from you. Help us this week, Lord, but over the coming weeks, just to consider our time this year at Christmas and how we might make more time for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very conscious, I was very annoyed with God about this. It was all very last minute this came to me, but we will make this happen. So if you need to, speak to me or Deb, sorry Deb, on the spot, and we will work out how to coordinate this. Joel, thank you.